Very good. Thank you. Please take your Bibles and your study sheets if you follow along with those. You may have seen the book. It's a children's book. The name of it is Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And it's about Alexander talking about how bad and horrible and terrible and no good his day was. And he goes through all the things that made it a no good day. If you were to come up to Alexander and you were to say, "So Alexander, today what do you think of the goodness of God?" He probably would say, "Goodness of God, you've got to be kidding. There's nothing good about today. It's terrible, it's horrible, it's bad. So I don't think God has been good today to me." We've been talking these weeks about God, His greatness, and we're looking at some of the different truths about God that are part of that greatness. And today we're going to talk about His goodness. That God is good. Simple word, isn't it? Good. G-O-O-D. Very simple. Good. And we're going to talk about that truth about God, that He is good. Not everybody thinks that's true. But it's true. And we're going to see that today. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would guide us. Reveal to us again truth about Yourself. You've been doing that, and we have really been appreciating it, Father, as You've been reminding us through Your Word of who You are, the things that are true of You, the things that make You so great beyond anyone, anything else. There's none other. There's no one like You in Your greatness. And Father, I pray that You would continue to make that so clear to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The goodness of God may not sound like it belongs in the list of things true of God that we've been addressing. You know, we've talked about God being omnipotent, all power. We've talked about God being omniscient, having all knowledge, knows all. We've talked about God being omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. We've talked about God being sovereign, absolute authority, absolute control. And we've talked about God being unchangeable and God being holy. That's quite a list. And I think some people would wonder why goodness would be a part of that list. It just seems to be such a simple, everyday, practical thing. Goodness. How does that fit with all these big things that are true of God? Well, I want to suggest to you that if God were not a good God, those other big truths about God would become quite scary. If God were all-powerful, but not good. If God were all-knowing, but not good. If God was everywhere, but not good. If He was sovereign, ultimate authority, ultimate control, but not good. If He was unchanging, but not good in that unchanging quality. I mean, just think of it. If it wasn't for the fact that He's good, all the things we've looked at would be pretty scary. But He is good. So that means He's all powerful and good. He knows everything and he's good. He's everywhere and he's good. He's sovereign and he's good. He's unchangeable and he's unchangeable in his goodness. Goodness belongs in that list of truths that make God great. And so we're going to talk about that today. The goodness of God. I have a book here. It's a really interesting book. It's called God Behaving Badly. And the subtitle asks a question. It asks, is the God of the Old Testament angry, sexist, and racist? And this is actually a Christian book, and it's responding to what some say about God, especially the God of the Old Testament. There are those who say they don't see a good God in the Old Testament. They see a God who's angry all the time, who's always punishing people, wiping out people right and left. They see a God who's racist. They see a God who is sexist. They do not see a good God in the Old Testament. And so this book, it's a Christian man who is using the scripture to address that accusation about God. The interesting thing is, even though they say they cannot see a good God in the Old Testament, and that the God of the Old Testament can't be a good God, it's the Old Testament that has the most teaching that tells us God is good. Isn't that interesting? That most of the teaching that tells us God is good is in the Old Testament. Turn with me to the Psalms. We find this truth being revealed to us frequently in the book of Psalms. So let's start about chapter 13, Psalm 13. You have many of them listed on your sheet for you. I'm not going to take you to all of them, so you can do your own personal study on it. But let's start in Psalm 13. And let's just see how the scripture reveals this truth about God over and over. Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 7 and 8. David says, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. David believed God was good, good and upright. Psalm 31, verse 19. 31:19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I like those verses. How great is your goodness? It's part of his greatness. And it says his goodness is stored up. And it's bestowed on those who fear him. He's not just great in his goodness, but he's storing it up to bestow it on people. He's not good and he just keeps that goodness for himself. He stores up goodness and then he bestows it on people. Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. No good thing does he withhold. And in Psalm 100 verse 5, Psalm 106:1, 107:1, 135:3, 136:1, you have this statement, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Five times, the Lord is good. There in the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 68. 119:68. The psalmist says, you are good, and what you do is good. Very simple, but expressing a big truth. You are good, and what you do is good. And then Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is good to all. Now that's sufficient to give you an example of how often the scriptures, the Old Testament even, reveals this truth to us about God. That God is good. It talks about his goodness. He's a good God. He expresses that goodness. He doesn't withhold it. He doesn't keep it to himself. He has a surplus of goodness. And he expresses it to people. He's a good God. But even though we see that in Scripture, even though we see these verses with our own eyes that say God is good, even seeing that, a lot of times people struggle with that, that God is good. Have you ever gone through times in your life where you have actually entertained doubts about that truth, that God is good, or at least good to you? You ever wrestled with that truth? You know the Bible says God is good, and yet because of what is going on, you're thinking, I'm not sure. You even find yourself questioning whether that's really true or not, that he's good. Why do we do that? Why do we struggle like that when it's so clearly revealed in his word that he's good? I would say that one of the reasons is that we have a tendency to want to define good, and a lot of times our definition of good isn't the same as God's definition of good. And so if our definition of good isn't coming to pass, then we decide God isn't good. Because if God were good, my definition of good would be taking place. We have different definitions. We see good as God helping me to be happy and helping me to feel comfortable, to feel good. If God is good, he will make me happy. He will keep me happy. He will make sure I'm comfortable. We may define good as pain-free. I feel good. Pain-free. Problem-free. And so if God is good, that means he is going to keep me problem-free, and he is going to keep me pain-free. And we could go on with examples of how we define goodness and decide if God is good, then that's what I'm going to experience from him. And as a result, we get frustrated. As a result, we do question. And we do find ourselves struggling with the idea that God is good. How can he be good if? If he were good, then he would. If God is really good, then he wouldn't. You see what we do? We have come up with the definition. And God isn't delivering on our definition of good. And so we struggle. We have doubts at times. We question. Let me encourage you with three words. They're there on your sheet. Taste, trust, and thank. Let me relate these three encouragements to the goodness of God. First of all, taste. Take a look at Psalm 34:8. Psalm 34:8. You know this verse. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You can probably relate to this. There are a lot of things out there that we will never know are good unless we taste them, right? I mean, your parents used to say that to you, right? They probably still say it to you. You've decided something isn't good, but then they'll remind you you've never tasted it. You've never tried it, right? That was me when it came to beets and herring. I went years deciding beets were terrible, that pickled herring was bad, but I had never tasted them. And one day I tasted them, and you know what? You may disagree, but beets are good. And pickle herring, good. Okay? But see, I didn't know that until I tasted. Okay. And that's true about food, but it can be true about experiences. It can even be true about people. You know, we're afraid to have a relationship with somebody. We're afraid to get to know somebody because just based on first impressions or appearance or whatever, we've decided they're not good. They're not somebody I want to be with. But then finally, we taste. We get to know them. We get acquainted, and they become good friends. You ever had that experience? And what the psalmist is saying is taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. You see, you can't go around doubting the goodness of God if you're neglecting Him. You can't keep telling people that God isn't as good as we think He is if you keep resisting Him and walking away from Him. How can you come to that conclusion about whether He's good or not if you're not willing to taste, to find out? How do you find out? Well, I think hidden in the rest of this psalm are some of the things that the psalmist is doing to find out that God is good. And he's encouraging the readers, taste and see the Lord is good. In verse 1, he says, I will extol the Lord. I'll praise Him. Verse 3, he invites the reader to glorify the Lord with him, exalt His name. In verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord. Verse 5, those who look to Him. Verse 6, he says, this poor man called to the Lord. In verse 8, he says, the man who takes refuge in Him. Verse 9, fear the Lord. Verse 10, seek the Lord. Verse 14, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 17, the righteous cry out. What are all those phrases? That's tasting. Try it. Praise Him, worship Him, call on Him, seek Him, pursue Him, try obeying. See what happens. You're tasting. And the psalmist says, if you taste, you'll see that He's good. Sometimes we doubt the goodness of God because we're not tasting. Don't come to that conclusion if you're not willing to taste. So that's the first encouragement. Taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The second encouragement is trust. This goodness of God thing takes some faith. It takes some trusting that those scriptures we read are true. It takes some trusting. Notice the statement in the box on your sheet under trust. It says, instead of focusing on what is wrong and bad about our situations, let us focus on what is right and good about God. That's worth considering because we are in that first part of that quite often. Alexander was in the story. See, all you do is you focus on how bad the situation is and how wrong to you the situation is instead of focusing on what's right and good about God. Makes a difference. Makes a difference. Turn with me to these New Testament scriptures that I think involve trust in the goodness of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What's good? God's will. Do you believe that? Are you willing to trust that truth? That God's will, whatever it is good. That takes some trust, doesn't it? But God's will is good. Look over at Romans 8. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Paul says, God works for good in all things. Doesn't say all things are good, but he says God works for good in all things for those who love Him. That takes some trust, doesn't it? I've been in situations where I've been reminded of that verse and it's been really hard to trust it. But I need to trust it. That in all things, God is working for good. It takes trust. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, our human fathers, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Holiness is good. Sharing in His holiness is good. And this text is talking about the times when God disciplines us, He trains us, and sometimes that discipline is painful, the next verse says. But it's for our good. That calls for some trust, doesn't it? That when God disciplines us and lets us go through painful things in order to help us become more holy, it's good. We got to trust that. It takes trust. And then, if you go over to Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7. This is actually where Jesus is talking about prayer. We find that out from the book of Luke where this also appears. But he's talking about prayer and he's talking about how you need to stick with it in your prayers, persistency in prayer. And so this is what Jesus says. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Keep asking. Seek and you will find. Keep seeking. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Keep knocking. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. And then he has this illustration. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? I mean, what kind of father would do that? Verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, you're just human beings, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? What kind of gifts? Good gifts to those who ask Him. But that takes trust, doesn't it? That if I keep asking, knocking, seeking, God will give something that's good. That takes trust. God's will is good, but we need to trust that. God is working in all things to bring about good. We need to trust that. God disciplines us sometimes, and it's painful, but it's for our good. We need to trust that. God is a good Father. He gives good gifts. We have to trust that. Why is His will good? Why is He working for our good in all things? Why does He discipline us for our good? Why does He give good gifts? Simple. He's a good God. That's who He is. And we need to trust that truth that's revealed to us. So when it comes to the goodness of God, taste. Check it out. See. He's good. When it comes to the goodness of God, trust that He is good. Trust. And third, thank. Thank Him. Five times in the Psalms, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? Good. Five different times. It's word for word. Trust or give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. He's good. So give thanks. Taste and see that He's good. Trust that He's good because He says He's good. And when you see the goodness, when you taste it, when you experience it, thank Him because He's good. Psalm 65. I love this psalm. Especially when I take some liberty with it. But I'm not really taking liberty. I guess it's liberty, but I'm not making up things. In the New American Standard Version, it words it wonderfully. And then in the side references in the New American Standard, it gives us some literal meanings of Hebrew words in that. So what I've done is I've taken the liberty to put all of that together in wording this verse. And it doesn't take away the meaning, it's just the literal meanings of words there. Now, in my Bible, the NIV, in Psalm 65:11, it says, you crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. In the New American Standard, if you put together what they say are the literal meanings of different words, it would be worded like you see on your sheet. Psalm 65:11 would say, you crown the year with your goodness, and your wagon tracks are dripping with evidence of that goodness. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The psalmist says, God, you crown the year with your goodness. He's been talking about agricultural things and how God has been so good and blessed His people agriculturally. That's the context of this psalm. But he's talking about God's goodness. And he says, you crown the year with goodness. And your wagon tracks, you've got to picture this, your wagon tracks are dripping with evidence of that goodness. They're dripping with goodness. Now, get the picture. You have this wagon moving along. Maybe it's through this tall prairie grass. And it's leaving parallel tracks, right? this wagon is going along and it's leaving these parallel tracks in this prairie grass. Or maybe it's in the sand. Picture that, this wagon moving along and it's leaving behind it these parallel tracks in the sand. Or if you want to get real relevant, picture this wagon traveling in the snow. And behind, it's leaving these parallel tracks in the snow. But then he's adding something to the picture. This wagon is carrying something that's abundant. It's overflowing from the wagon. And so when you look back at the tracks it's leaving, not only are they parallel tracks in the sand, snow, prairie grass, but what the wagon is carrying has been dripping and it's in the tracks. And so the wagon goes off and yet it's leaving behind tracks with evidence of what the wagon is carrying, the drippings. And what's the psalmist saying? He's saying that God's wagon is abundantly full of his goodness, to the point his goodness is overflowing. And his wagon leaves tracks that are dripping with the goodness, the reminder of the goodness. Isn't that a wonderful picture? He says, your wagon tracks are dripping with evidence of your goodness. I want you to write this down. I'll repeat it a couple times because you need to put this somewhere in your home where you see it. Here it is. When you place everything into the good hands of God, when you place everything into the good hands of God, you will start seeing God's good hands in everything. You will start seeing God's good hands in everything. Let me say it again. When you place everything into the good hands of God, you will start seeing God's good hands in everything. Friends, I feel confident to say that for every one of us, if we were to take the time to open our eyes, look at the wagon tracks of God's activity in our lives, we would be able to see the drippings of his goodness to us. Evidence of his goodness. But we're so busy focusing on how bad things are and how wrong they're going, instead of how right God is and how good he is. We got to start placing everything into God's good hands. Trust him. Trust that he's good. And then he'll open our eyes and we'll see his good hands everywhere. We'll see the drippings of his goodness all along the trail of our lives. And then we can thank him. How do we thank him if we don't open our eyes and see the goodness of a good God? So remember that statement. When you place everything into the good hands of God, you will start seeing God's good hands in everything. Look for the wagon tracks and find the drippings of God's goodness all along the way and make sure you thank him that he's a good God and he's been good to you. Sometimes it isn't until we look back at the tracks that we see the goodness, right? Sometimes it's after we've gone through something, we look back and we see the tracks. God was working. And on those tracks of His working, it's just dripping with goodness. I missed it because I was too focused on how wrong and bad what was happening was. Taste and see the Lord is good. He's a good God. Trust His goodness. And when you see it, thank Him. So, in just a moment, we are going to have our time of presenting our offerings to the Lord. While we are doing that, I want you to practice Psalm 65:11. Down at the bottom on your sheet, there's that rectangle. And what I want you to do while we're giving our offerings is I want you to open your eyes, eyes of your mind, and I want you to think back. And I want you to observe the wagon tracks of God's work in your life. Just in the recent past, last year or so. And I want you to think about the goodness that's dripping on those tracks. God's goodness to you. Maybe you've never looked back at what you went through to even see the goodness of God. Now's a good time to do it. Open your eyes. Look for the goodness that's dripping on those tracks of God working in your life over the last year. Record them in that box so you visually see the evidence of God's goodness in your life in the last year. And thank Him for that goodness. I'll ask the men to come. We will give our offerings as we are doing this. And please, focus on it. If you don't have a study sheet, just think about it. What are the evidences of God's goodness in my life over the last year that I need to thank Him for? Situations that maybe I didn't see as good at the time, but now I see the drippings of His goodness on the tracks. He was working, and He was good. So you work on that and record those things as we give. What we need to do before we close the service with a song is I would like you to spend a couple minutes with someone seated near you. Your family would be wonderful if they're sitting with you. But let's share what we put down here with somebody. What are the evidences that you recorded, that you noticed as you looked at the tracks of God's work in your life in the last year that are dripping with His goodness, evidence of His goodness toward you? I encourage you to share that with somebody. Just share back and forth. If you wrote it down, read to them those evidences of God's goodness in your life that you see on the tracks of His working in your life. And just share that with other people. That's your way of glorifying Him for His goodness, is to make it known, to draw attention to how good He is. So for a few minutes, let's just do that. And if you prefer not to share it with somebody, then just go right to prayer and personally be thanking Him for the goodness that He has brought to your mind, that He has shown to you. But let's do that for a while, and then I'll wrap it up and we'll sing. I know that it's very possible that some of you have grown up in situations where the goodness of God was not something you thought about. In fact, maybe the way you were taught, maybe the way you were brought up, I don't know what the situation was, but it did not lead you to believe that God was a good God. In fact, you may have believed these other things we've been looking at, that He had all this power, He was sovereign, authority, that He knew everything about you, all the secret things, that he's everywhere. You can't get away from him. You can't hide. You know, you believe those things. But the goodness part, for whatever reason, that didn't register. And for you, the idea of God and being around God was like, you know, I'm always on guard. What's he going to do now? How's he going to react to me now? Am I in trouble now? Because your idea of God did not include good. And so it was like this all the time. That's you and God. Oh, he's good. He's all powerful, but he's good. He knows everything, and he's good. He's everywhere, and he's good. He's the ultimate authority, and he's good. And that doesn't change because he's unchangeable. He's good. Taste and see. Check it out. Taste and see. He's good. And trust that. Trust that truth. Believe it. Focus on that truth. Not how bad things are going. Not how wrong they seem. Focus on what's right and good about God. And trust it. And then when you see the goodness, when you see the dripping of his goodness on the tracks of his work in your life, thank him. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He's a good, good Father. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you're revealing to us again who you are and what you're like. And Lord, we confidently and we gladly add your goodness to this list that we're looking at, because it is part of your greatness. You are great and you are good, and we are so thankful. May we never neglect to thank you for your goodness. May we always have our eyes open. May we always be ready to see and acknowledge the evidence of your goodness in our lives. It keeps us going, Father, and we thank you for your goodness. Amen. Amen.